Our reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, beginning at verse 32. Let us hear God's word. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Eugene Peterson, in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, writes, "It is not difficult in such a world to get a person interested in the gospel. It is terribly difficult to sustain their interest." Let us pray. Great is the mystery of our faith. We praise you, O God, that Jesus Christ was manifested in the flesh, that Jesus Christ, who was infinite, became finite, that Jesus Christ, who was invisible, became visible, that Jesus Christ, the Creator, became created, and that Jesus Christ, the Eternal, entered into time for our salvation. Amen. In an idyllic garden prepared just for them, one can find a mother koala with her baby settled into the fork of a tree at the San Diego Zoo. The mother nibbles leaves while the little one is nestled safely in her pouch. Then the mother's head begins to nod, and nibbling slows, and soon she is fast asleep. This is the natural cycle of koala behavior. They eat, then sleep, wake, eat some more, and fall asleep again. They spend almost 23 hours a day in slumber because the eucalyptic leaves, which form the primary diet that they consume, contains a strong narcotic element. Eucalyptus-induced sleep may be appropriate for koalas, but the Hebrew Christian scriptures bear witness to another form of sleeplessness that comes over us when we grow slack in our spiritual disciplines, meant to keep us alert to the presence of God in our daily lives. The Gospels contain many parables of Jesus urging his hearers to be awake and alert, as well as several examples of the disciples falling asleep when times were tough. Jesus tells us first to watch and wake up. The Greek word for watch literally means to chase away sleep. No one can watch and be asleep at the same time. If you are watching, you cannot be sleeping. Of course, we sleep part of the time, about 8 hours a night, if we are lucky. Studies show that most Americans get only 6.8 hours of sleep during the week, leading to us being overweight, and the lack of sleep is also believed to be the cause of a rise in traffic accidents. But this is not what Jesus was referring to when he said, lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. Sleep symbolizes a state of not being prepared. It means that many of us don't care what happens to us, to the world. When most of us go to bed and something is on our minds, we cannot sleep. We toss and turn all night long. The next morning when we get up, we feel as though we have not been to bed at all. But some of us are indifferent. Nothing keeps us up. That must have been the way Jonah felt about God's command to preach to Nineveh. In the middle of the storm at sea, Jonah was found fast asleep in the hold of the ship. The ship was tossing back and forth, but Jonah slept. In the parable of the virgins, five foolish virgins missed the bridegroom at midnight because they were asleep and allowed their lamps to go out. Our text tells us that Jesus goes to Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. He takes his disciples with him, 11 now, and they are told to stay here while I pray. So he leaves 8, the outer circle, and takes 3, bringing Peter, James, and John, the inner sanctum, within a stone's throw from where he was agonizing about what lies ahead for him, telling them to watch as well as pray. You will remember that these were the same men he took with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they then were given a glimpse of Christ's divinity. Now here in the garden, they witness Christ's humanity. In the preceding text, Mark has presented a picture of Jesus for us, serving them and even washing their feet. However, in tonight's reading, we find a different picture of Christ, a Christ in distress, about to fulfill the eternal plan of his Father as he prepares to die in the place of sinners. He actually recoils at this event. Jesus is facing a situation where he saw no help, no comfort, no consolation, and no way out. Gethsemane wasn't the kind of garden where you would find vegetables or fruit, but flowers. For those of us who are privileged enough to have been there, most would agree that this is a piece of serenity and peace. Biblical historians believe that Jesus may have gone there many times to pray. Mark Hargrove points out that it is not by coincidence that the story of humanity begins in a garden. It was a perfect garden designed by God for our pleasure and provision. But it was also in that garden that we read of humanity's fall. Our text takes us to a different garden. In this garden, we read the story of humanity's hope as the seed of the woman is about to crush the serpent's head. In the Garden of Eden, Adam disobeyed and plunged all of humanity into sin. However, in the Gospels, we see another garden where the scene is reversed. This is not the tranquil Garden of Eden. This is Gethsemane, a place where olives are crushed and oil is extracted. But it is here that perfect obedience results in human redemption. For as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one should the many be made righteous. It is to Jesus that we look to once again as an example, because the disciples, like us, are not a reflection of perfect obedience at all. Jesus seeks comfort from those he has previously comforted, only to discover when he returns, he finds that they are fast asleep. Their drifting into sleep only compounds his aloneness. Sometimes I have to say, I feel a little sorry for the disciples that night. Don't you think they get a bad rap? They had given up everything and turned over their whole lives to follow this man, Jesus. For 3 years, they walked with him, struggling to understand what it was he was trying to teach them. His followers were good, well-meaning men and women, making mistakes all along the way, but they wanted desperately to please him. Yet we are often quick to accuse them of being unreliable and lazy, but just think of the times that we, like them, doubted, denied, and disowned Jesus, fell asleep when we should have stayed awake. The text tells us it was a cool night. I can only imagine first, Peter yawns, and before you know it, each one of them, in herd-like behavior, involuntarily open their mouths and inhaling that wonderful cool air, relax and fall asleep. It is said that yawns are contagious and are not due to boredom, but actually are a sign of empathy and social competence. However, Jesus knew that we are all in danger of spiritual sleep. And we can test it. We are not awake spiritually if we are suffering, if the suffering of another does not cause us pain. We are not awake spiritually if the so-called little sins of our lives are becoming more numerous and our sensitivity to sin is becoming dull. We are not awake spiritually if we do not hurt when some brother or sister falls away from the faith. We are not awake spiritually if we do not long to become more effective in winning others to Christ. We are not awake spiritually when we evade truth that hurts and accept an easy lie. We are not awake spiritually when we are not willing to put forth the energy necessary to save a dying relationship. When we are awake and alert, we are giving the gift of ourselves, which is the truest gift we have to give. When he came back, he found them, Peter, James, and John, sleeping. And he said, "My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death." Our Puritan ancestors gave high importance to staying awake. During their long services, the ushers would roam the congregation with a long pole in their hand. Male nodders got a whack from the metal knob on one end of the pole, and the drowsy women were teased awake by a feather at the other end of the pole. Now, this is not a suggestion to our ushers for specialized training. Henry Ward Beecher was asked what he would do if anyone fell asleep during one of his sermons. He replied, "I've given the usher strict instructions to wake up the preacher." Jesus was continually vexed with persons who gave into slumber at precisely those moments when they might have found God speaking to their most important needs. He told Martha that her household distractions were like going to sleep and missing her moment. The disciples should have been praying, but they just couldn't keep their eyes open. According to Luke, they were overwhelmed with sorrow. Mark tells us their eyes were heavy, overcome with emotion. But notice they were speechless because their actions could not be justified. Jesus could have gone to the garden alone, but he wanted his friends as close as they could be. He wanted his friends with him through his time of agony of spirit. Don't we sometimes feel that way also? We don't necessarily want to talk or feel that we want to have a conversation. We want them there with us, not to resolve anything or explain anything. We just need a loving touch, a non-judgmental hand to hold, or a shoulder to cry on, because some pain is too deep for words. In our darkest hours, we need friends and family. We need one another when we're going through the valley. James writes, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." The Lord wanted his earthly friends close to him, but they let him down. Sorrow is somehow easier to bear when there is more than one pair of shoulders to share it. Jesus went back again, but when he returned, they were asleep. But notice in Jesus' words, there is no hint of bitterness, only sadness. It usually isn't intentional. Friends don't always understand the depth of our pain or the extent of our sorrow. No one can know that until they have been there as well. Peterson describes Jesus as being sucked into a sinkhole of agony. Some of us have been in that place. This is why we are called to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted. If we have made it through the storm, then we know that pain, and we can be a healing presence in the life of others when they travel that same road. Returning a third time, he said to them, "Why are you still sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into this time of trial. Watch and pray." Peterson's interpretation of the text here is, stay awake so that you do not enter the danger zone without knowing it. Jesus is saying, I know that in your heart of hearts, you want to do the right thing, but your flesh is weak. Watch that you do not become tempted to doubt my work. Watch that you are not tempted to disown me. Watch that you do not deny me. We need to pray because ultimately, when we pray, we acknowledge two very important things. First, we acknowledge our weakness. And second, we acknowledge God's strength in any circumstance that we might face. The disciples could not have known the hope of humanity was hanging in the balance that night as they slept in the garden. Jesus wanted them praying with him and for him, but they were tired and worn out, and they truly did not know what we know and could not see what we have seen. I've had occasions like that, haven't you? I wanted to watch a play or read a book or listen to some good music, but lack of sleep made my eyelids so heavy. The Christians in Ephesus are urged to wake up and recognize that we have become unfaithful, that they have become unfaithful in their discipleship and no longer honor Christ whom they claimed to follow. In Orthodox Christianity, one of the primary definitions of sin is to be asleep. Sinful actions, things done and left undone, follows when we allow lethargic drowsing to replace watchful expectations and attentive listening. Well, what about you and what about me? The only thing that is going to keep us awake as Christians is to know who we are as disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the garden for a time to talk to God at a low point, and he knew that the disciples needed the power that he would receive if they would pray as well. This was no new experience for Jesus. It was his custom to pray. This was no foxhole prayer, but turning to God, he not only turned to God every day, he turned to God when things got tough. This was his habit. This was his heartbeat. The Garden of Gethsemane was a place of both misery and distress, however. Jesus entered the garden in agony, but he left empowered. It was the prayers of his Father that turned the place of suffering into a place of strength, prayer that was fervent, prayer that was submitted to the will of God, prayer that enabled him to face the bitter cup. That is the power of prayer. So here we are, just like the disciples, broken, imperfect, men and women with all the issues of life, brought together by God to follow Jesus to the cross. The cross, someone said, is the place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. Of course, Jesus knew that they would need to be alert, watching and praying, and that their toughest test would be in the next 3 hours. He knew that the disciples would be tempted to compromise and even to abandon the mission. "Could you not stay awake for 1 hour?" he asked. It's a haunting question to each and every one of us tonight. How will we be intentional about staying awake with Christ? There are many ways of encountering the Christian and encouraging the Christian to stay awake. One way is to talk with one another about the Lord. In Pilgrim's Progress, the main characters, Christian and Hopeful, are on their way to the celestial city. Hopeful says, "To prevent drowsiness in this place, let us fall into good conversation." Christian inquired, "Brother, where shall we begin?" Where God began with us, in fellowship with one another. Christian disciples who isolate themselves and walk alone are very liable to grow drowsy. But if we enjoy fellowship with others in the ways of God and make the theme of our conversations the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be kept wakeful and refreshed, encouraged as we walk toward the cross. In a few moments, we will gather together at the table of Jesus Christ in the shadow of his cross to share in the meal he has prepared for us, recalling the very meal that he had with the disciples before they went to the garden. We are like the disciples, are we not? Sometimes we find the road too hard and we fail God. We desert and disobey him. We fall asleep or we run the other way. We're not perfect. Our spirit is willing, but our body is weak. We all make mistakes. And when we do, we ask for forgiveness and then get on with following and obeying him again. But as we look at Gethsemane, we also need to understand that where we have failed, Jesus has succeeded. Jesus obeyed God perfectly. He did what we could not do. At the cross, Jesus took the punishment for our failures. So while we always try to follow and try to be obedient and try to love him with all our heart, our mind, and our soul and strength, there will be times when we will fall short. But the good news of the gospel is simply this. Going to heaven doesn't depend on our failures, but on Jesus' success. Amen, and thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who was very God and very man. Help us to be true followers of Christ, awake with him. May we find ways each day to give ourselves away as he did for us. You know that we are weak, Father, and yet when you find us broken and bewildered, you come to us to restore and repair, to rouse and to revive. Thank you for your enduring love. Amen.